You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
In good days and in bad, always seeing your grace and glory in the face of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us and was raised from the dead to be Lord of all. In his name we pray. Amen. The winter of discontent has overtaken the whole world. Everywhere you go, people are dissatisfied. They feel oppressed by the circumstances under which they have to live. And they look with suspicion upon everyone or anything that comes under the general theory that anything new or anything different is bound to bring trouble. Trouble is a fact of life, of course. Try to ignore trouble or act as if it does not exist, and you just bury your head in the sand. Trouble is there for all to see and for everyone to experience. Having personally experienced trouble, lots of trouble, including threats to his life, and having known just about every need or want that people have who are without home, family, or friends, St. Paul responded to a fine group of people in Philippi who had just sent him a little gift to help him along. "It has been a great joy to me," he said, "that after all this time you have shown such interest in my welfare. I don't mean that you had forgotten me, but up till now you had no opportunity of expressing your concern. Nor do I mean that I have been in actual need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances may be. I know now how to live when things are difficult, and I know how to live when things are prosperous. In general and in particular, I have learned the secret of facing either poverty or plenty. I am ready for anything through the one who lives within me. Nevertheless, I am not disparaging the way in which you are willing to share my troubles. You Philippians will remember that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, you were the only church who shared with me the fellowship of giving and receiving. Even in Thessalonica, you twice sent me help when I was in need. It isn't the value of the gift that I'm keen on. It is the reward that will come to you because of these gifts that you have made. Now I have everything I want. In fact, I'm rich. Yes, I'm quite content. Thanks to your gifts received through Epaphroditus. Your generosity is like a lovely fragrance, a sacrifice that pleases the very heart of God. My God will supply all that you need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. And may glory be to our God and our Father forever and ever. Amen. The man who wrote those words had found out how to take life. You take the bounty as you take the bruises. With contentment. It is a great word, contentment. It is getting along by yourself with inner poise, peace, and tranquility. It is being able to stand on your own two feet without dependence upon anyone, even though you have nothing. It's being ready for anything because you know something, or better, because you know someone. The someone whom Paul knew was Jesus Christ. That may sound strange to some people because they think of Jesus Christ as being dead and gone. This man knew better. He himself had met Jesus Christ on the road going to Damascus. This was no dream. It was a living, breathing reality to him every day of his life. He still remembered the voice that said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He still remembered the light that surrounded him, brighter than the light of the sun. He never forgot how that living voice of that living person answered him and said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Jesus Christ is alive. He lives, not just in our memory or in our devotion. He's really alive, and he is Lord of heaven and earth. Knowing that is quite different from just having a religion. This is having life. It is experiencing all the time a living presence, the living glory of the living Christ, who died for the sins of the world and has been declared the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. Knowing Christ, Saul became a different man. First of all, he became Paul. Instead of a persecutor, he became an apostle. Instead of waiting for people to wait on him, he went out to conquer a world for Christ. The power of God went with him wherever he went, because the glory of the Lord had risen upon him. How does all that work out? As you can see from this kind little note at the end of his letter to the people at Philippi, it produces a new kind of personality, with contentment at its core. I have learned in all things to be content, whatever the circumstances may be. I never felt an actual need, because I have learned to be content. I know how to live when things are difficult, and I know how to live when things are prosperous. In general and in particular, I have learned the secret of facing either poverty or plenty. I am ready for anything through him who strengthens me. He lives within me, and I experience his strength every day. He always takes care of me, and I'm never really in want of any kind. I have learned in everything to be content. It's a great way to live, if you can live that way. It's not for people, of course, who look upon life as one big playground where pleasurable activities are supposed to drown out life's sorrows and problems. It is also not the kind of life where people are always looking for things they can complain about, for whom life is so boring and wearisome that it has to be reduced to a heavy burden and a constant sigh. In either case, whether you look upon life as a playground or whether you see it as a constant source of discontent, all this talk about contentment probably appears to be just talk, just that, and nothing more. Here's a man, however, who was not trying to escape life. He did not write off life as of no consequence. He was right in the middle of things, thinking and feeling and doing all the time. In the middle of it all, he had discovered a great secret, the secret of contentment. You get a little peek at that secret yourself in what he says. I don't really feel deprived, because I have learned in all these things to be at peace, competent and almost self-sufficient, because I am completely dependent on Christ. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. The man was not speaking out of an ivory tower that he had erected himself somewhere. He was not talking from a hermit's hut out in the woods somewhere. What he was talking was not theory, but actual fact. Life did not handle him with silk gloves. He tells us how hard he worked, how many times he had been beaten, how often he faced death, how he was shipwrecked 3 times, adrift in the open seas for 24 hours. The man knew what exhaustion was, and hunger and thirst, too. He had often gone without meals and been cold for lack of clothing. This man had been around. Indeed, he's getting older all the time. He has the premonition that he's going to wind up his life in jail somewhere. He can reach deep down into the reserve power that he has discovered, the great secret of all of life, which is Jesus Christ himself. This is the hope of glory, he says. Even Christ in you. It is the secret of strength amid weakness. The grace of God is made strong in weakness. He found out that service is worth a lot more than being served. It is joy where other people complain. He has learned how to cope where other people stand around helpless. With the good things he has known, he is not boastful, but content. Well-educated, talented, a Roman citizen, eloquent in his own way, he has had to learn how to live with failure as well as with success, with the beautiful as well as with the ugly, with bright days as well as dark days. In all this, he has learned something from Jesus Christ, whom he's come to know as the living Lord, giving life to people who have faith that he died for their sins and is alive to forgive their sins. He has learned from this. I know how to live now when things are difficult, and I know how to live when things are prosperous. I've learned the secret of facing either poverty or plenty. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, whatever the circumstances may be. I have learned how to be content. Some people have tried to explain this newfound attitude of Paul's by suggesting that he was just an old-fashioned Stoic, or maybe even an old-fashioned cynic. Stoic philosophers and cynic philosophers were well known in the ancient world. Especially the Stoics campaigned against the idea that life is purely pleasure. They said virtue is more important than pleasure. They were probably right about that. But this emphasis on virtue brings on a lot of egotism that produces its own kind of self-sufficiency. Egotistical people boast of their own virtues. They depend on their own merits. They find out, as does everyone else, that your virtue and your merit is not enough to sustain you when the times get rough and tough. Indeed, it was not unknown for the Stoics actually to advocate that people commit suicide in order to save the system they had built up through their own virtue and their own merits. Cynicism was something like Stoicism, only it recognized nothing good at all. Everything has to be renounced, along with a kind of Pharisaic pride that expresses snarling contempt for all the amenities and sometimes even the decencies of life. There was a certain self-sufficiency in that system, but the spirit of the whole business was the spirit of death, and the end of the whole business was death. Paul was no Stoic and no cynic. Paul was headed toward life with joy in everything that was connected with Jesus Christ. He enjoyed the circumstances under which he was living, even though some people would not have called them good by any means. "I have learned the secret," he said. "I'm ready for anything. Through the strength of the one who lives in me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's interesting to see how Paul responded to the nice gift that the Philippians had sent him. He did not turn the gift away. He did not say, "You shouldn't have done that." Paul was too much of a realist to react to life with all of that pretentious modesty which a lot of people affect in their pride. He did not have any of that pride, and he didn't mind accepting a gift from people who wanted to help him. "You did it once before," he said, "and you didn't have a chance to do anything again until right now." Then he went on to say, "I haven't been in any actual need. I've learned to be content. I know how to live when things are difficult, and I know how to live when things are prosperous. I know him who is the Lord of heaven and earth. He lives within me. I'm ready for anything because of the strength he gives me. I want to thank you, however. I thank you for what you did before, and I thank you for what you are doing now. It is simply great. You are learning, too, what contentment is. You are not keeping so much as giving. It isn't the value of the gift that I'm keen on. It is the reward that will come to you because of these gifts you have made. That kind of life has to be received, and it has to be learned. You don't get it by working at it, but you accept it and live it with gratitude for grace. By the grace of God, Jesus Christ died. By the grace of God, he forgives. By the grace of God, he offers people the gift of life through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, alive and well, and Lord of heaven and earth. By the grace of God, Christ lives in the hearts of people through faith and through love by which faith expresses itself. By the grace of God, people are built up in love and learn the great lesson of life, which is contentment. It's a great lesson to learn. It's all from God, and it is all in Jesus Christ. Anyone who can hear this broadcast can learn this lesson. It is all in Jesus Christ. "That's all right," I hear somebody say, "but it's not hard to be content when one is rich, healthy, educated, having a job, and a lot of other things that you need in order to be content." I have seen a lot of people who had all of those things and a lot more and were not at all content. Probably just as many rich young people are on drugs as there are poor young people. There is as much adultery among the poor as there is among the rich. Money, athletic skills, and a lot of other things that people think they must have in order to be content do not bring that joy in themselves. That comes from something else and from someone else. Paul found his self-sufficiency, his contentment, in something that was genuinely good. He found it by faith in Jesus Christ. having found Christ, or rather having been found by Christ, as it actually happened, Paul was content. He had that inner something, which many other people have had, both notable and not so notable, the kind of thing that can come to anyone, including you. It comes with Christ. It has to be learned. Learning to be content is not one easy jump, like being converted to Christ, which happens all at once by the grace of God. St. Paul says, I had to learn. It takes time and experience. It begins in grade school, and it doesn't end in college. It keeps going all the time, learning how to be content, how to live when things are bad and when things are good, how to endure when things are difficult, and how to endure when things are prosperous. The great secret of facing anything at all, including poverty or plenty. I'm ready for anything. Through the strength of Him who lives within me, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. I hear somebody say, yes, but Paul was not confined to a wheelchair. No, he was not. But he was confined to a lot of other things, which you might consider a lot worse. He was nailed to a cross, as he himself said. Even though life had become a cross for him, he said, you can look at life in the same way and say with him in perfect contentment, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We all have to learn. This is something you can learn only from Christ. This is something you get from God, and the strength is Christ himself. It's learning that God is always good, no matter how black things may look. It is learning that Christ is always Lord, no matter how weak you may be. It is learning that the power of God is always ready and strong, even when you wonder about yourself, what's going to happen to you, and where you are going. It's learning to be rich in the middle of poverty, rich in faith, and rich in contentment. It's learning to be thankful on a hospital bed and grateful in the midst of failure. It's learning to be content with the great and secret experience of faith in Jesus Christ, the one that Paul expressed when he said, I have learned to be content. Amen.
Listening to a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Programs Department of the International Lutheran Layman's League.